Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaming Mennonite Church. Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania. We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us. Gaming Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. Marlene, thank you very much for that music. Hammer Dulcimer, is that correct? Thank you very much for that beautiful music. Before we turn to our hymn and hymn, I'd like us to stand and sing a chorus together. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And then we'll turn to number 58.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness.
Let's turn number 58 in the memory hymn, number 58, For the Beauty of the Earth.
For Mission Minute this morning, I'm going to update you a little bit on EMM. As some of you may know, and some of you may not know, EMM's headquarters is moving from Salonga to North Prince Street in Lancaster. That building is a two-story building. The second story is going to be operations of EMM as it is currently at Salonga. The first floor is going to be more for changing ministries, different than what they're doing now. The purpose of that is there's mission organizations that are starting up and may seem kind of more exciting than EMM, which is 100 years old and seems more traditional. So they're going to have their more like churches are doing their own mission work, and EMM helps them. So this would be done on the first floor, and also there are different new missions that they start would be done on the first floor. The giving to EMM this past year, as many other nonprofit organizations, is down. They're encouraging churches to use their loan fund, where the church would loan money from them, and they would receive money that way. And they also are having a fundraiser banquet, which a couple weeks ago, you should have received a smaller version of this in your mailbox. The banquet is October the 21st. You need to register by October 1st. You can go as a group or you can go as an individual. The purpose of the banquet is twofold. It's a fundraiser, and it also, EMM is going to tell what they see as their role in the world today and why EMM exists, to show their calling. Christians in Somaliland, you've heard, were being forced out of the country. Many of them went to Kenya, which is a neighboring country. And the Christians that were forced out of Somalia are wanting to and are starting to go back into Somaliland to be a witness and to share the love of Christ with the people in Somaliland, which are mostly Muslim, which leads me to the next topic. David Shank and a few others are doing, I don't know if you've heard about the Christian and Muslim relation. They're working on trying to have Christians relate to Muslims. And David Shank is the guy that kind of started and is the head of it. And he gets invited to pretty many Muslim events. And he was invited to one, and he asked the, I think they're called clerics, the top Muslim person at the seminar, and he asked them why he was invited. And the Muslim friend said, well, there's two reasons. First, you don't bash us over the head and treat us bad. You treat us with love and respect. And second is, I can tell that you love and follow Christ. So David Shank afterwards asked him what the Muslim suggestion for David Shank to tell the Christian people about. And the Muslim guy said that, tell your people that if they follow Jesus and love him like you do, then you would turn the world upside down. So that was just kind of a Muslim telling us that we should follow Christ. Seemed kind of against what they would be saying, but it's true that if we follow Christ and follow his example, that we can show his love and people will want to follow that kind of lifestyle. So I have some of these in the back on the table. It's from October to December, EMM would like to raise $1.3 million to keep their budget on track. And I'll lay this paper of the Muslim relation in the back for you as well. Thank you.
At this time, would the ushers come forward for the morning offering? Let's pray for the offering. Dear Heavenly Father, we just gather here this morning to worship you and to praise you. And also, we just thank you for your love for each of us here. And I just pray that we can show love to our neighbors, our enemies, the people around us, and be the example of you in our lives. I pray you bless this service and bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, we just acknowledge you this morning that you are holy. Thank you, Father, for your greatness. Thank you, Lord, for making a way for us to be right with you. There's nothing we've done to deserve it. To even be able to stand and worship you. You are holy. And on our own, our righteousness is like filthy rags. But because of Jesus, you look at us as your children, as blameless in your sight. God, thank you. Thank you for being holy, for being a God of love, a God of justice. Thank you that you care about us so much and you care about this lost world that you have us here as your ambassadors. God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to worship you freely. Thank you for the encouragement we can have by being together. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin in our life and teaches us, leads us to those who need to know you, to encourage those who are downcast. Please, Father, help us in the short time we have in this life to point people to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning's message is from Luke 1, and the theme is Gabriel's message. It's kind of interesting for me to think about Luke 1 in a context that isn't Christmas yet. We often look at these scriptures at Christmas time. And Luke 1 is a lot of Gabriel's message to different people. And I thought a little bit about different messages we get. I grabbed a few from my recycling bin, some mail. You know, if you're like me, you get all kinds of messages through the mail. Advertisements for something. And we get our church mail, too. So there's additional stuff. There's advertisements for Church Media University. I could go to a conference. There's advertisements for me to get a credit card. There's the Gaither Christmas Homecoming, if you want to go to that. I've got a flyer for you. Somebody for Congress. This week I got a couple of these birthday cards, so I opened those. But we make value judgments, right, on our messages. If you're carrying a phone in your pocket, I don't know if you've ever gotten a phone call from a number that you don't recognize, and what do you do with that? Often, people don't answer it if they don't know who it is or they don't recognize the number. We see messages driving along the road, billboards. I got a phone call this week from someone who doesn't normally call me. He left a voicemail and didn't say what it was about. But hi, Phil, this is so and so calling, and just give me a call back. You ever get one of those from someone who hasn't called you, and you kind of wonder, why is that person calling me? And what do they want? And then your mind goes down all these trails, and that was an interesting one. But when we get messages, there's kind of four things that I think we think through. We don't necessarily think through these steps, but we ask, who is it to? You know, if it's for me, if it's an envelope, well, I'm sorting the mail. Well, okay, this one's for me, this one's for You know, Kelly, this is for one of our kids. Who's it to? Who's it from? You know, that's going to influence whether I read it or not, or I answer the call. What actually is the message if I decide that, okay, I'm going to open the piece of mail, I'm going to answer the phone, what is the message? And then what do I need to do about the message? So if it's some kind of communication to me, is there something that I need to do about it? And so I say a word about, so I sometimes use these slide things. I don't try to do this. Some people might take it as trying to be flashy or whatever. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to help you stay with my thoughts and perhaps help you remember it better. It's something I can do. So if it doesn't help you, sorry. I hope that it does. But Gabriel's message was similar to these people. And I think they had to ask who it's from, who it's to, what do I need to do about that message? I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke 1 has a lot in it, and there's a lot of things you could speak about. Since it's not Christmas time, I kind of was led to some things about these particular people, the message that was given to them, and how that relates to us. I'd like to read the first four verses. Luke 1, verse 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good to me also to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So right from the beginning, Luke tells us why he's writing this book to begin with. And basically, there were kind of three things. This was stuff that was handed down to him, so he's about to tell the life of Jesus, right? The Gospel of Luke, it's about the life of Jesus. And this was handed down to him, this was told to him, so that's one of the reasons. It was told to him by the people who were eyewitnesses of it. Another of the reasons he gives is he personally investigates it. So I'm not sure how he did that, but some commentators suggest that he probably interviewed maybe Mary, maybe others who were directly in contact with Jesus. And his reason, another reason he has, is that he wants this guy Theophilus, his acquaintance or friend, or I'm not sure exactly who he is, but he wants him to know that he can believe this. And this was true. The certainty of what he's being taught. Those are things that I think can connect with us as well. Luke cared about this friend, Theophilus, and so he made an effort to tell him that this stuff was really true. He investigates it, and he wants to share it with him clearly. So, in this account, he begins with an account of Zechariah and Gabriel's message to Zechariah. So Zechariah was a priest during this time, and he was chosen by lot to go into the temple and to burn incense. And while he's in there, the angel Gabriel appears to him and gives him a message. And I'd like to read verses 10 to 20. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time." So that's God's message to Zechariah through Gabriel. Some of that wording, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, was a direct fulfillment of some of the last words of the Old Testament in Malachi. That message, when Gabriel says, "I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news," that could be a calling for us as well. Have we not been sent to speak and to tell of the good news? Then we have Gabriel's message to Mary. Skip down just a bit to verse 26. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How can this be?' Mary asked, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said.' Then the angel left her." So the first message happened in the inner courts of the church setting. This next message to Mary doesn't tell us, although it says he goes to the town of Galilee, so it seems like a very ordinary place he speaks to her. The three main characters in Luke 1 are Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Mary, and each of them have a response to the message that's given. Elizabeth is not a formal song like it's labeled for Mary and Zechariah, but Elizabeth has a response to what happens as well. In verse 39, I'll read a few verses. "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. So basically, Elizabeth is praising God, saying, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that is going to be born to you. That's her response. Mary has a response from verses 46 to 56. I don't know if you caught it, but one of the songs that we sang was very much Mary's song. Holy is the Lord. How he was faithful to her. The Mighty One has done great things for me. And it was a message of how he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. That was Mary's response. And then in verse 57, John the Baptist is born. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. Zechariah Jr., perhaps. But his mother spoke up and said, No, he is to be called John. They said to her, There's no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a tablet, perhaps an iPad. So incidentally, if you're asking for a tablet for Christmas, you could say that it's biblical here because John asked for a tablet. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. And then 67 to the end is Zechariah's song, and that's basically he's praising God for redeeming his people. He's raising up Jesus as a salvation. He speaks of his son, John the Baptist, and how he will be called a prophet of the Most High. He will go on to prepare the way for people to come to know salvation through the forgiveness of sin. So what about all this stuff? Why would God use Zechariah? Zechariah, he himself says that he is old. It's a reason he didn't want to go along with Gabriel's message at first or questions it. Zechariah was kind of ordinary. He wasn't a priest because of his great accomplishments. He was a priest because his father was a priest and his grandfather was a priest, because he was in that family. You were born a priest. He chose it in the sense that he went along with it, but he didn't choose that. One commentary I read said that there were approximately 18,000 priests during the time of Herod. There were 24 different divisions. He was in the division of Abijah. So there were, if you divide that, roughly 750 priests in his division. They went to serve at the temple twice a year and were chosen by lot to see who would burn incense in inner courts. There wasn't anything special about Zechariah. He was ordinary, average, and he was old. Why would God want to use me? Why would God want to use Elizabeth? She too is described as being old, well along in years. She's described as barren. And in verse 20:25, that barrenness must have led to disgrace among the people as well, because when she is pregnant, that disgrace is taken away. Why would God use her? Old, barren, disgraced. Why would God use me? Why would God use Mary? Mary was young, probably very young. She was insignificant from a small town. Nothing really special about her. Young, insignificant. Each one of us sitting here, I think, can connect to one of these individuals in some way. Old, young, average, ordinary, insignificant, disgraced. Why would God choose us? These might be hard to see, but there are some things, there are some things about these people that God favors, God appreciates, God, I think, looks at and says, this is who I want to give the message to share with their community and ultimately to share with the world. Both Zachariah and Elizabeth are described as being upright in the sight of God. They observe the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. He must have been a praying man because Gabriel says, your prayer has been heard. He was someone who valued prayer. And he obeyed God's instructions about naming their son. So they were supposed to name him John. The people who were there were going to name him, Zachariah Jr. And he has the tablet brought to him and says, no, his name is supposed to be John. So he obeys God's direction against what was the cultural norm. Elizabeth, too, was upright in the sight of God, observed his commandments. She also spoke up about the naming of their son John in a time when it was probably looked down on for a woman to be raising her voice and speaking up about that. Mary was highly favored by God. She is willing to serve as the Lord directs her. So this was an incredible message from Gabriel. She has a question about how that's going to happen because she's a virgin, but she says, I am the Lord's servant. She's willing to go along with what he wants to do. And Elizabeth describes her as being blessed because she believed what God said he was going to do. What was their context? What was their place in life? Or what were their roles? What was the situations that they were in? They were each followers of God. Zechariah was a husband. He was a priest in this division. He was a community member. He was an extended family member. And all of these things play out in Zechariah's willingness to follow God's call, to respond to Gabriel's message. Elizabeth, too, is a follower of God. She was a wife. She was a wife of a priest. She was a community member, extended family member. Mary, follower of God. She was pledged wife-to-be. She was a daughter. She was a community member, extended family member. It was in that context, in those situations, where this message was given. And what was that message? From Gabriel, it was that he was sent to tell you good news. And the good news was Jesus. I'm preparing to send Jesus, the Savior. Now, I'd like to kind of walk back through that kind of in reverse and try to connect it with ourselves. How about you, for you and I? What is our current situation? What are the roles that you are playing in life? Are you a student, a father, a mother, a wife, a grandparent, a neighbor, a business person, a salesman? We each have multiple labels and different roles that we fill. And as we go through life, those things kind of change. Some things come to a forefront and are more important or more apparent maybe at the time. But it's in that context, I believe, where God has each of us that He wants us to share His message. And the question is, are we like Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary? Are we being faithful in the places that God has us? As a teammate, as a student, as a provider in our homes? Are we being faithful there, right where we're at? Because that's who God chose. He chose Zechariah. He chose Mary because they were being faithful there. Are we being faithful where God has us? Why would God use you and me? Well, hopefully because He finds us faithful. Our reasons for sharing are similar, I think, to Luke's. Because we've been given the message. And we've experienced, hopefully, we've experienced Jesus in our own lives. We're certain of it, and we want to share that with others. Who is it to? Well, like Luke, who wanted to share with Theophilus, hopefully we will want to share with other people. It's from God, and the message is that Jesus is good news. Jesus has been good news in my life. So that should be our message to those in our context. Jesus has been good news to me, and He's made a difference in my life, and I want you to know that good news also. And the question is, what do I need to do about that message? What is our response going to be? Like Zechariah and Mary and Elizabeth each had a response of praise and in communication to those around them. And what is our response going to be? Hopefully it's to be faithful where God has us, serving the Lord and sharing His message. And that message, again, is that Jesus is good news. Good news in our lives, and we have a desire to share that good news with others. I'd like to close with two short scriptures. The first one from Matthew 25. From the parable of the talents, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." I kind of see that as what was happening with Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary. They were being faithful with a few things, with the place that God had given them. They were honoring God. And God used them to bring the greatest message to the world. In Luke 16, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with very much." God has trusted you and I with this message that Jesus is good news. May we be faithful where God has us, and may we be faithful in sharing this message. Please pray with me. Father, thank You for Your message of love to us, Your message of good news. Help us to be faithful in whatever place in life that we are at right now. Old, young, anywhere in between, insignificant, ordinary, whatever. Help us to be faithful. The context of our lives, the relationships that we're in, the roles that we play, help us to bring that message of good news, the good news of Jesus, to those realms. Help us to care about the lost, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to turn to number 115 in the Amendment Hymnal 115. It's a Christmas carol that's referenced in the back of the hymnal saying, coming from Luke 1. We'll sing both verses. Come thou long expected Jesus.
Thank you for leading us in that song, Doug. It's our opportunity for sharing. You can raise your hand.
This is Roxanne. I have a message from Sandy Johnson. She was unable to attend today, feeling very under the weather. So just keep praying for her. Her desire is to be here every Sunday, and just didn't work out today, but keep her in your prayers. Thank you.
This is Ruthie. As most of you know, when Addie was born, she had a brain injury. It was supposed to affect her muscles, they said, and they weren't sure. They said we'd have to wait and see as she gets older what happens. And they were out this week for 3 months, the evaluation, because I had started therapy with her. And they said when they started, she wasn't crawling, she wasn't sitting up, because she couldn't. And yeah, she surpassed all the goals they had set for her. She's not walking yet. She's walking along furniture. She is every year, so she is behind, but she's, they don't see anything will be affected at all by the brain injury, that her brain will have figured a way around it. So I'm just very thankful that, she should have no lasting effects from it.
Great. Praise God.
I'd like to thank you for your thoughts and prayers this week for Pat. She is recovering slower than what we both would like, but she's heading in the right direction, so thank you for your prayer.
Just as an announcement, the church is going to collect items for the Christmas Child International, which is the shoe boxes. On October 29th, we're going to have a coffee house for a cause and assemble the shoe boxes so you can either buy items to go in or buy complete items to fill a shoe box and bring them to church. And we'll buy more items to make everything complete and then assemble them and give them to Christmas Tree International.
This is Liz. I would like to request prayer for my two parents who, who were both diagnosed with cancer a couple weeks ago. And also for my sister who is trying to exit a very abusive home. And there's four children involved with that. So please pray for all of them. Thank you.
Wanted to make a verbal announcement, just a reminder that next week we'll celebrate communion together and foot washing. And I'll invite you to stand together for prayer. Father, we come to you thankful that we can pray to you any time, any place. You hear us. Even we read about today how Gabriel said to Zechariah that your prayers have been heard. We pray this morning for Eastern Mennonite Missions. We pray that you would provide the financial resources to continue their work of sharing the good news of Jesus around the world. We pray for their Muslim relations team, for David Schenck and others as they relate to those in those circles. God, I pray for many who would see truth and would come to know Jesus through their faithful witness. We pray for Sandy Johnson that you would continue to be near to her, that she would turn to you often throughout her days and in the struggle of her many health concerns. We pray that you would, your will would be done in her life. We ask for for comfort and for good care for her, and that she would be able to worship you with this church body often. We praise you for Ruthie's testimony of Addison's life and for how there have been, not been significant problems from the birth for Addison, and that she has been progressing well, and we praise you for that, Lord. And we thank you for Pat, and we continue to pray for her recovery. Thank you for her, Lord, and thank you for being with us on our journey, wherever it leads us. We pray for Liz and her parents. Father, we pray for, we ask for your healing and for your help. We pray for her sister in this abusive situation, Father. We pray for protection. We pray for a way out. We pray for your will to be done there, Lord. I thank you, God, for the message of truth and life, of love, of Jesus that you have given us. Help us to be faithful in little things, the places that you have us now. Help us to be faithful, faithfully living for you. And you, in a mighty way, can use that, just like you used Luke in sharing with his friend Theophilus. You've used that to share with the world. Help us, God, take our gifts, our expressions of faithfulness and praise, use it for your kingdom purposes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace.